Good morning. You're listening to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my guest is Michael Martin, who is CEO with the NWFA, the National Wood Floor Covering Association. I guess it's been, what, 3 years since you took over from Ed Korzak?
That's right. I came on board 3 years ago in February.
I want to talk to you about the show you've got coming up in Nashville in less than a month. We'll get to that in just a minute. But first, let's talk about the business that you focus on, the wood flooring business. First off, in Floor Focus in March, the issue that goes to your show, we did a story and did some analysis, and our estimate is that the hardwood flooring business is up around 13% in 13 compared to 12. Is that compared similarly to your numbers?
Yeah, it's very similar to the numbers that we're seeing, definitely double digit from most sources.
We also think that the floor covering business overall grew about 7%. So why do you think that the hardwood business is growing much faster than the flooring business?
Well, I think hardwood, for a couple of reasons, tends to be, when you look at the consumer research studies, you tend to see hardwood, you know, ranking as really the first selection that people want in their homes. That hasn't changed, but we're seeing people make investments, whether they're replacing flooring and getting it ready for market, or whether they're putting it into a new home. We're seeing, you know, of course, wood flooring being the first preference as to what most consumers want. The second area I'd say that is driving that growth really is more in the replacement market. People are putting in hardwood perhaps where they had a different surface. Again, as I mentioned earlier, either getting their home ready to sell or to do some updates they might have been holding back on that they've been saving money for the last few years.
This is seen as a better and good. I mean, and people, as they see the Case-Shiller index and they see that the value of their house is worth more now, then they make more investments, right?
Correct.
You know, I went to the CCA meeting, the Carpet One meeting, and heard where they are changing their assortment in hardwood from having the north and a south assortment to a five region assortment. So I guess we're seeing a trend where consumer tastes vary depending on where you are in the U.S. Is that right?
Well, I think that's true. I think part of that is consumer demand, but I also think that, you know, I think in CCA's case, there are also different species that work better in different parts of the country that might be driving some of that preference as well.
Are you seeing a continual movement toward a little bit of character in the surface type versus just your plain oak flooring?
We are. I mean, it really isn't your mother's oak flooring anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of tendency for wider planks and a hand-scraped look and that kind of thing. I mean, you're seeing that not only in wood flooring, but you're seeing that in other consumer products where a lot of design now is toward a look of being sustainable or renewed that maybe came out of a barn or something like that. There's a lot of that natural rustic look that's really taken hold in the market. And, of course, wood flooring can play well in that space.
Yeah. And, you know, wood used to be a medium to light brown product. And now you can get it in grays and dark chocolates and all kinds of different colors, can't you?
Yeah. You know, what we're really seeing from a trend perspective is sort of opposite ends of the spectrum are popular this year from what we've seen from our manufacturers where, you know, where there's a tendency to either go even darker than dark brown toward a black, or on the other end of the spectrum, we're seeing some whites show up and definitely gray. So that black, white, gray area seems to be really hot from the design perspective right now. We're kind of hoping we don't see the pickled look from the 80s come back, but we certainly are seeing some things that are lighter in nature.
And your expectation for 14 is that this pace of growth will continue in double digits, right?
Absolutely. As long as home building stays strong and the investments are being made into existing homes, we see no reason that we're not really facing a strong market for several years to come. In fact, when we look down at 14 and 15, some of the projections we're seeing coming out of the National Association of Home Builders or some of the economists that study home building, we're seeing, you know, 24 to 30% year-over-year growth, you know, that which creates a concern for us, I think, in two regards. Number one, on the supply side, and number two, on the installation side. We have to have enough raw material. You can't just take more trees out of the forest. They have to go through a process. So that, you know, that slows down a little bit of the supply side. Plus, a lot of loggers went away during the recession that just aren't coming back. So we have some concerns on the supply side, just meeting the demand. And that also, of course, affects pricing. Yeah. But then secondarily, on the other end of that spectrum, a lot of installers that were out there went away during the recession too. So we really want to make sure that we do everything we can to make for sure that we have a qualified, educated installer base as this market continues to improve.
These manufacturers that are in this business, especially the big guys, I mean, they've really got to get it right on the forecast. And, you know, since Armstrong's a publicly traded company, you can actually peer into their annual report and see where, while their sales were very strong last year, they had to buy some raw materials and it ended up costing them a little bit. So you really have to get your projections in line, don't you?
Yeah, definitely on the manufacturing side. You can also buy buy too high and have to sell too low, or the reverse, you end up with too much inventory. So it really is science to the raw material supply there.
Oh, well, let's talk about your show. Last year you were in Dallas. Everything's big in Dallas. You had Howard Putnam, the CEO that helped build Southwest Airlines. He was a great keynote last year at your meeting. This year you're in Music City, Nashville. You've been there before. It's been several years. So talk a little bit about what's exciting with the NWFA Expo, which is going to be held April 16th to the 18th, right?
That's correct, Kemp. You know, it's real exciting this year that we've talked about this before, and I think most of the industry is aware. The last couple of years we've reinvented the show, and we've seen really great growth come back into the show as far as attendance and our exhibitor base. Our exhibitor base has grown by about 30% in the last 2 years. So now we've kind of got that fundamental growth underhand. So we've got about 50 new exhibitors coming into the show this year. We're really seeing the support of the manufacturing sector. The attendance numbers are matching that too. We put our show downtown in Nashville. There's a brand new convention center that LEED Silver certified. There's a lot of wood used throughout the building. It's shaped like a guitar. So it's a very interesting and unique venue. And of course, we're in Music City. We're in a brand new Omni across the street, which also carries through a lot of the country music motif throughout. So we matched that environment with our theme called Strike a Chord. And we're bringing in some keynotes this year that are more tied to the music industry, but also to business. We have a producer coming in to talk to us at our general session to tell us how he built his own business in the music industry, which we feel like ties really well to people building their own businesses this way, and then ties back to our central sort of musical theme.
And that guy's Robin Crow, right?
That's correct.
And so you're not at a Gaylord property this year?
We are not at the Gaylord. We originally were scheduled to be at the Gaylord Opryland. We made some decisions about what really works best for our attendees, and we really feel like we need to offer them a multiple hotel approach, which is really borne out to be true. We've had to increase our block of hotel rooms multiple times now. We've extended rooms into 7 different hotel properties that surround the convention center, and we're about 35% over where we were last year at this time heading into the show.
You know, you're moving this downtown. That's an exciting venue.
Really, with this brand new structure downtown, we're right in the middle of Honky Tonk Row. So we've got events lined up from, you know, a pub crawl is one of the social events, one of the evenings where people can kind of go out on their own but still be tied to the group in a way that allows them to network in a different way than what we could within a structure that really there's no place to go outside of the hotel. So it's going to be a fun event, we think.
Mm-hmm. I guess you probably need to implore people, if they're coming, to go ahead and book a room soon, right?
That is actually the one concern that we have, is that, you know, our hotel block, we've exhausted it multiple times now. And if you're trying to get a room outside of the NWFA block, it's really difficult, because a few weeks ago, both Bruce Springsteen and Miley Cyrus announced that they're having concerts the same week as our show. So that's really taken a toll on the hotel inventory that's available to us. The sooner the better, or you'll find yourself out at the airport.
Yeah, or in Murfreesboro.
Or maybe they'll drive in with you from Chattanooga.
Yeah. All right, Michael, well, it sounds very interesting. A lot of good things going on. It's a bigger exhibitor base. You're expecting more people this year.
A couple of other things that we've changed. The feedback we got from last year was they loved the education, but they wanted it to be a little bit longer. So we've made our sessions longer this year, and we've also added a 3-hour more deep dive afternoon of options for everyone in the supply chain. So there are options there for the manufacturers, the distributors, and the contractors. There's a little more focus on the education product as well this year, specifically based on what our attendees told us they wanted last year.
And you're offering a little bus ride. If you want to, you can go see Somerset's engineered plant over in Crossville, right?
That's right. We have a bus tour set up. Really, it's designed to kind of be a multi-purpose thing, where we can take the architect and design community as well as our contractor base and give them the option to go out and see how engineered flooring is made. And the Somerset has been really great to support us with that initiative and to offer up their facility for us to do that. And it's close enough that it's an easy trip to make out.
Yeah, and I don't know if you knew this or not, another piece of trivia about flooring, but while they're over there in Crossville, there's 2 massive ceramic tile plants that they'll also notice. You can't miss them as you go over to the Somerset factory.
Well, that's good to know. I wasn't aware that there were some tile plants out there too.
Yeah. Okay, Michael, it's great to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you again. Talking to Michael Martin, who's CEO with the NWFA, about the annual expo in Nashville on April 16th to the 18th. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.